Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, January 18th, 2011 Carrboro Board of Aldermen meeting. The first item on our, Alderman Gist is not feeling well and won't be able to join us tonight, and I believe that Alderman Brown will be here in a few minutes. She had a work item that she had to take care of. All right, the first item on our agenda is a request from visitors and speakers from the floor. Is there anybody who's here to speak on an item that is not already on our printed agenda for tonight? Okay. If not, I don't believe we have any resolutions or proclamations, do we? Okay. Mr. Manager, could you present the consent agenda?
Item 1 is approval of minutes of a previous meeting, December 7th. Item 2 is certification of the Carrboro Fire Rescue Department roster. Item 3 is a transfer of contingency funds for the centennial celebration activities. Item 4 is a request for approval of a municipal agreement with MCDOT and the capital project ordinance for design and construction of a sidewalk on Rogers Road. Item 5 is a resolution canceling the January 25th, 2011 public hearing meeting. Item 6 is a resolution authorizing the town manager to award construction contract for the Weaver Street reconstruction project.
All right. Is there...
Move items 1 through 5.
Second.
All right. Items 1 through 5 have been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously.
I was wanting to to pull number 6, basically because, so number 6 is the resolution authorizing the town manager to award a construction contract for Weaver Street reconstruction project. It's not that I don't think, the town is doing what it does, nor that there's anything unusual with this, except that I feel that we are in times where we have to reconsider and reprioritize things that we put our money towards, and considering that there's so much more we can do with, for example, retrofitting houses and funding the revolving loan fund that we're creating as we speak, as a board, I'd hope that we could really reassess our priorities so that when we allocate money, And this is going to cost $1 million+, that we really consider things within context of what some scientists are saying. And some scientists, and a lot, there's a large scientific consensus of this, is that we have a 5-year window in which to stabilize our CO2 emissions globally. And seeing that internationally, nationally, and statewide, there's hardly any action, and Carrboro is supposed to be a progressive place where things are happening, it is even more significant that we act and be an example and be that place that a lot of people think that we are, by at least questioning when we do things that are business as usual. So I'm not going to be supporting this. I know I supported this in the past as part of the process that's brought it to this point, but I feel like it's time to really start thinking about these things, and that's why I can't support it.
Mark?
Yes.
I want to say that, I mean, I really support the sentiment behind what Sammy's saying, but I think raising this question creates an opportunity for whoever's in the audience tonight for a reminder of several things. One is that Carrboro spends $1 million a year plus supporting the fare-free transit system, which is certainly more than any town this size in North Carolina and possibly in the nation. I mean, I wouldn't have statistics on that. It's a big investment in exactly the kinds of things you're talking about. We won the silver bicycle status this year because of our investments and the investments of the people of town in bicycle alternatives. We're spending millions on sidewalks. And I think the voters are very much in support of all those kinds of projects and the significant sums that we're investing in creating an alternative transportation network, and that that's what we're elected to do. And I think if there's an interest in taking that process to another level in terms of the conventional structure of transportation that people are accustomed to, that that needs to be done through engaging the citizens in a discussion and not through an ad hoc vote on a single issue, regardless of the symbolic merit of that. So with that said, I'm going to move the item.
Second.
Yeah, and no, I think I would just like to add 2 points. I hear the point you're making, but I also think that, you know, honestly, where a huge part of the wear and tear on Weaver Street comes from, in fact, our public transportation system. The buses are heavy vehicles that put a lot of wear and tear on the roads that they drive on. This is part of the F bus, small part of the F bus's route, and a significant part of the CW bus's route. And also, heavy trucks are responsible for a lot of the damage that is done. And while heavy trucks don't sort of add to the sustainability of our community exactly in the way that buses do, I'll just point out that, you know, the reality is they're a huge and critical part of how our community operates, how we get goods in our community. This reconstruction project will also be reconstructing bike lanes along, I think, two-thirds or so of Weaver Street. So I just want to make the point that this project has some important sustainability features. And the other point that I'll make is, I think regardless of what kinds of changes we make to try and address global climate change, that the reality is that this street needs to be rebuilt. Even if no cars, no private passenger automobiles were ever to drive on it again, it would need to be rebuilt. It would need to be rebuilt for our bus system. It would need to be rebuilt for our fire trucks, for our police department. And and I'll also make the point that it's in a deteriorated state that, you know, frankly, it can only wait so much longer before the project becomes much more expensive, not only because as it deteriorates, it becomes more and more difficult to repair, but also because, frankly, this is a time when contracting costs are very low because of the difficult economic situation that the whole country is in. And that makes this an opportune moment, even though it's an expensive project, it makes it an opportune moment for us to receive bids on it.
Mark, and also I'd like to add that while it's predominantly a transportation project, it also is helping to allow some repair on some other infrastructure, like the water and sewer, some Wausau lines, and some other power lines.
I just want to echo what y'all have said. You know, it's really a short-term, maybe to mid-term fix. You know, I agree with your sentiment, Sammy, but I don't know that in the short term, you know, not reconstructing this road would get us what we want. And even if we were to, you know, eliminate, you know, the cars, as Mark, you know, aptly pointed out, we need the public transportation, which are heavy occupancy vehicles. And hopefully in the future they would be electric solar cars, which would still be using the road, and the bikes use the road, and the pedestrians use the road. So, you know, I think that when we discuss the climate issues at the retreat, we might want to think creatively for the future. But I do think this project at this point needs to go forth, because the condition of that road right now is hazardous, which ends up costing everyone more money.
Right. And I wasn't expecting everyone to come along with me either. And I don't expect the voters to necessarily find this an attractive proposal either, because we do obviously all depend on cars, myself included. But I do think it's valuable for us to pause and take note of some of the things that we take for granted and start really questioning how it is that we might go as far as is being called for. I'm not putting into question either all the good things that Carrboro does already compared to so many other places. This is rather a matter of degree for what kind of change is being called for as we do business as usual. So I'm just hoping to raise that question and the discussion so that we can really start thinking about, are we doing it to the degree that is being called for? And if we answer that question in the negative, then really start thinking creatively in how we as a town can achieve what we must if we're going to do our part in mitigating climate change, especially since everyone else is not doing anything. We're kind of like inspiration, you know. Hopefully we can have that conversation.
Okay, is there a motion for the resolution?
I thought Dan moved it, and I seconded it.
Oh, okay. All right, so that's a yes. There was. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
The matter passes 4-1. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Item D1. Mr. Manager, do you have anything to say on this?
Just that Kathy contacted the Representative Hackney's office to get some dates, and these are the two dates that work for the Orange County delegation, either Friday, February 18th, or Monday, February 21st at 7:30 a.m. for a breakfast meeting.
I can make the 21st. I'm just letting you know.
Can?
I can.
Ms. Mayor and members of the council board, I've got a court meeting long scheduled for the 21st, but this is your breakfast, not mine, but just
so that we know.
Just so that you know, you do.
Okay, this isn't like a court engagement in Venezuela or something.
No. No, this is in Watauga County.
Okay.
So, but we're not, are we? We're not choosing a date here, right? We're giving them two dates.
No, they've given us those two dates.
Oh, so we can
use either of them. So we need
that's
to choose one.
Right, yeah. That's why I said...
So it's Randy or Mike. Is that the first one?
Well, and I'll just say both dates I have conflicts, but I'm going to try to work with whatever date we choose and see if I can arrange to be there. So
I can do both.
Dan, do you have a...
Nothing I know of.
I never have anything scheduled at 7:30 in the morning, I can assure you. I'm certain of that without looking at my calendar. But
how nice.
I always do, but I can be relieved on one for one day.
Well, I think...
So, Randy, you can come the Monday.
Monday,
the Friday.
Yeah.
You know...
Okay, so I move the Monday night.
Okay.
And I'll second that.
All right. It's been moved and seconded that we go with Monday, February 21st. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
And I'll just point out that we're, unless you all direct otherwise, we'll have an agenda item for the February 8th meeting for the board to talk about the items that you'd like to discuss at the breakfast. Isn't that, that's right then, Kathy. The 8th. February 8th.
I'll just point out that, Mr. Manager, when we have that agenda item, could your staff bring us a little bit of information about what Durham is seeking to do in terms of raising some additional revenues off of increasing liquor license fees or something along those lines? Okay. Just interested in the possibility that perhaps we could...
Okay.
Piggyback on the effort that they're pursuing.
Okay, we'll do it.
If it's even worth talking about, which I don't know, so that's the kind of information I'm looking for.
Okay.
Anyway, all right. Item D2.
This is a presentation on the Orange County Unified Development Ordinance, and as you all know, Orange County is developing a UDO and is prepared tonight to
have a presentation for us, and Perdita Holtz with the Orange County Planning Department was here. I told Perdita we're going to have to put her on the payroll if she keeps coming up here.
So. Well, we can't afford it, so stop.
Sure.
Just make this the last one for a while.
I'm good with that. For the benefit of those who may not know me, I'm Perdita Holtz. I'm one of the planners with the Orange County's Planning Department. And with me tonight is Shannon Berry, who also worked on this Unified Development Ordinance project. Did you wait? There she is. Tonight's presentation will be brief, and it'll cover the BOCC-approved project scope, public participation during this process, information on the first draft and public hearing draft, and then effects of the UDO on the joint planning area agreement and the rural buffer, and wrapping up with the current review and approval process. The project scope is fairly limited. We were charged with combining multiple county land use related ordinances into one cohesive document. And those ordinances were the zoning ordinance, subdivision regulations, environmental impact ordinance, the soil erosion and sedimentation control ordinance, the stormwater ordinance, and finally the economic development district design manual, which is technically part of the zoning ordinance but was always available as a separate document because it was rather lengthy. We were tasked with reorganizing these six ordinances into a new UDO format with the goal of creating a UDO using existing standards and language to the greatest extent possible. So we were not looking to make many changes with this process. We are also charged with eliminating some existing contradictions and inconsistencies that had been identified and updating graphics and tables. There were some limited specific regulations that we were authorized to update, and those had to deal with signage, landscaping, buffers and tree protection, parking and loading requirements, stream buffers, and lighting was also something that we were going to look at, but we did not have time during the process to do that, so the lighting standards have not changed as part of this UDO. We were also charged with developing a conditional use district and conditional zoning districts to replace the existing, what Orange County calls, planned development districts. And finally, we were asked to make recommendations for next phases, which is actually something that our consultant, Clarion and Associates, is working on. That's not necessarily a staff-driven task. So that's what this phase does do. What this phase doesn't do does not change the existing approval processes when you want to develop something in Orange County. It does not change standards, performance levels, or dimensions, and it does not drastically streamline sections of the ordinances. And these are all things that the county has heard we need to look at, and they are all included in what we're terming phase two and beyond of the UDO process. But we really just wanted, in this phase, to reorganize our existing regulations into a UDO framework. We did have several, as a matter of fact, seven public outreach meetings during the process, and we are going to hold another public outreach session on Thursday, January 27th, in the Hillsborough offices of the County Planning Department. The dates there are listed throughout 2009 into 2010. The first draft of the UDO was released on August 9th. And public comments were accepted until September 20th. The BOCC actually did hold two separate work sessions to review and comment on the first draft. And there were also two county planning board meetings where they spent their entire meeting reviewing and commenting on the first draft of the UDO. And then additionally, the joint planning area partners were notified that the first draft was available in August, which includes you all in Chapel Hill. So after the first draft, staff analyzed all the comments we received, and there were quite a few, probably six pages of Excel spreadsheets worth of comments at least. and we incorporated many of them into what became the public hearing draft, which was released on November 6th. And changes from the first draft were shown in a color-coded text so that people that were interested could quickly identify what had changed from the first draft. And I should also mention that in the first draft, changes from existing regulations are shown in a red text, so you can easily see what is changing from existing language. The public hearing on that first draft was held on November 22nd, and the outcome was that the public hearing was continued to February 28th to allow for additional public preview time. The effects of the UDO on the joint planning area agreement and the rural buffer that surrounds Carborough and Chapel Hill. Basically, there are no significant changes from existing processes. The joint planning area agreement still applies. The joint land use plan is still used as a decision-making tool, as well as the county's comprehensive plan is still used as a decision-making tool when development proposals come forward. There does seem to be concern that people seem to think that the conditional districts would allow something to occur that isn't currently allowed in the existing regulations. So we developed a chart that shows how the planned development district and the conditional use district are essentially the same. And I do believe that this is part of your agenda packet. But basically, it's showing all the salient things that you might want to know about plan development and what the requirements are now, and then the requirements under the conditional use district. And you can see that they're generally the same. There's two little areas that are different, and that conditional use district actually has some excluded uses that you cannot apply for certain uses under a conditional use district. And the biggie is that conditional use is actually now the term used in state statutes as of 2005. So we're trying to be consistent with the language that is allowed in state statutes.
What could you just give an example of the kind of development that might avail itself of either of these?
Well, planned development under the county's subdivision regulations, all subdivisions of a certain size are required to be processed as a planned development, so they will continue to have to be processed as a conditional use district. It's kind of like a change in term.
Okay, can you give me an idea of like what size development that would be?
It depends on whether you're designated rural or urban, mm-hmm. but generally anything over 20 lots.
Okay. Can I ask you another question
sure.
about that? Do you get very many development applications of that kind now? My impression is that most people avail themselves of the state statute that says that the county doesn't have much to say over lots that are 10 acres plus.
Right. Those are termed exempt subdivisions, and even those are a slowdown nowadays. But we generally get 1 to 2 major subdivisions a year.
And do those tend to be in I mean, obviously this is mostly relevant to, this is most relevant, let me put it that way, to the town of Carborough as it affects either the watershed or the rural buffer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Are those the sorts of areas where those developments are happening, or?
I would say that there have been some in the rural buffer, but I have seen in my tenure with the county, which is a little over 7 years now, mostly in the Eno Township particularly, mm-hmm. which is on the border with Durham.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a couple in the past like 5 years that I know of in the rural buffer, one being down really close to University Lake, and I can't recall the name of that subdivision right now. And then
Rosewalk?
One up. Did somebody say something?
She said no, Rosewalk. No, but I think it was in your planning jurisdiction.
Yes, it was.
She said University Lake. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it was
very
close to University Lake.
It's like one of those on the other side of
on
Old
the other
Fable
side,
Wood
yeah.
over there.
And then the other one was at the corner of Old 86 and New Hope Church Road.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Pickett Sprouse currently has a for sale sign, I believe.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean.
Those are the two in the rural buffer that I can think of in the past several years.
And where you say that under the conditional use district, use is permitted, there are some exclusions, or can you give some specific examples?
I can. Things like airports are excluded. Shannon's going to help me out with those excluded
airports
uses.
Airports are excluded, meaning that they're not...
You cannot apply for an airport through the conditional use district.
Cannot use conditional use districts for...
They're your more heavier and intensive uses. Mm-hmm. There's a list of, I believe, 37. As I recall, I think hospitals were part of that.
Mm-hmm. Landfills.
Undesirable stuff like landfills and hospitals. Okay.
Your large-scale intensive uses.
I'm just all right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So there are some exclusions that you cannot apply for certain uses using the conditional use process. That actually doesn't exist now under plan development. There are no excluded uses. Probably the largest difference between existing regulations and the UDO, the regulations contained in the UDO, is the master plan development conditional zoning district. Mm-hmm. And just to hopefully help you all out a little bit, conditional use district is a district that is linked to general districts. So for instance, if you have a LC1 local commercial one, you can potentially apply for a conditional use district using the uses that are allowed in LC1. The conditional zoning districts, and that's where the linkage came in. The conditional zoning districts are actually individual zoning districts listed in the table of permitted uses. So there are three of those. Two of them exist now. One of them is mobile home park. One of them is public interest district. And then this other master plan development, which is a new construct. And the master plan development, we were trying to implement some of the things that are currently allowed with the plan development mixed use district. So when you look at the chart, you can see that there are a lot of similarities. And, you know, you still have to be consistent with the comp plan, or there have to be, you know, real bona fide reasons on why somebody would not be consistent with the comp plan. You have to have the relationship with the JPA land use plan in the case of rural buffers. The rural buffer area, I should say. As I said, you know, it's a separate zoning district listed in the table of permitted uses. I'm sure that you all have table of permitted uses in your land use management ordinance. And it seems like some people are a little spooked that they see a star in our table of permitted uses, and they're not realizing that you have to apply for a certain use or range of uses, that everything within that MPD zoning district is not going to be allowed as part of your development application. It's just what you can apply for as part of the MPD. The MPD is a legislative rezoning process. It would not require an SUP. That is different from the current process where SUPs are required for all planned developments. Staff actually feels that having an SUP for all developments is a little bit redundant, because part of the reason for conditional districts is that you can apply conditions as part of the rezoning process. And so if you're going to have the conditions as part of the rezoning process, it's a little bit redundant to turn around and apply those same conditions to an SUP process.
Mm-hmm.
So,
in other words, so for example, the county commissioners could say, "Well, you can, we'll allow you to open a gas station in this particular location, but it can only be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. or something like that."
Correct.
That type of condition.
Yes.
One possible example.
That's a possible example. Yes. Whereas if you apply that to an SUP, there's a higher standard that you have to reach in having substantive and competent evidence. So a legislative decision is actually more discretionary to the governing body, which some people think is good, some people think is not good. Depends on your perspective.
It depends on whether you're an elected official or not.
But really, everything else between the planned development district mixed use, which exists now, and this MPD conditional zoning district is very similar. This is not a big change that is happening. Once again, we are wanting to change language to be consistent with what's allowed in state statutes. State statutes specifically talk about conditional districts. They talk about conditional use district as a district, and they talk about conditional zoning districts.
Okay, so to bring this down maybe just a little bit to the particular, so choosing the example that I just used of say, I'm interested in a piece of land in rural Orange County that the current zoning would not allow me to build a gas station on, and I think it would be a good spot for a gas station. I want to build a gas station. Could I use this process to potentially get permission to build a gas station?
Yes, you could. You can apply to have a gas station.
Obviously,
you can apply to have a gas station under the planned development districts now too.
And can you do that in the? Can you do that in the? For example, in the rural buffer.
Yes, anybody can apply for anything they want. Mm-hmm. It's whether they get approved while going through the process.
The joint planning agreement, for example, doesn't preclude that.
The joint planning agreement does not preclude the application. Mm-hmm. But would that be consistent with the joint planning land use plan? Probably not.
Probably not. And so if right now under the existing system somebody did that, say somebody said, I'm going to buy that Pickett Sprouse property at Old 86 and New Hope Church Road, and I want to build a convenience store gas station there. I don't really believe anybody is going to do that.
Right.
It's not high traffic enough for it. But just as a hypothetical, if somebody under the current system that we have now, they would come in and apply for a plan development.
A rezoning to a planned development district, yes.
A rezoning to a planned development district.
Or to a general zoning district. People can apply for general zoning districts as well.
And the county commissioners would get to decide, A, whether to grant either of those rezonings, and then B, whether to issue a permit or not for that particular activity.
Yes, but for a general district, they would only be deciding on the rezoning. For a planned development district, they would be deciding on the rezoning and the special use permit.
Mm-hmm.
But the joint planning agreement would have that going to town of Carborough staff for their input and review of that project. Everything within a certain area.
But we wouldn't have any. I mean, we would have input, but
you would have input. Ultimately, the Board of County Commissioners would make the decision.
Right. So, it you know, I'm just trying to think about what's the practical. What difference it really makes. And it seems to me that tell me why. Either you or our town attorney, since he knows a thing or two about planning law, tell me about this. So, it seems to me, for example, if you're the neighboring property owner and these changes are happening, this development application is happening, and the county commissioners approve a rezoning. That generally speaking, it is extraordinarily difficult to come back in court and overturn the county commissioner's decision on a rezoning. I mean, it's a legislative decision. You would have to prove that there was some, you know, pretty extreme wrongdoing on the part of the commissioners to undo some rezoning decision they made.
It is legislative, but it is still possible, and it does occur with not frequently, but with some general regularity, that rezonings that are granted are overturned on the basis that they're improper spot zoning or whatever, even conditional use zoning. What has never occurred is an overturning of a denial of a rezoning.
That would be a heavy burden to try and
saw that once in the Superior Court, but not in an appellate opinion.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't strike me as that there's much change in the process. I mean, that's for, no, it's just still you're still controlled by the planning area land use plan. So in either case, you wouldn't get it before, and you won't get it after this thing. It's a practical matter with the hypothetical that you raised.
I mean, in the process of issuing a special use permit, there do end up being a whole bunch of other additional issues to be potentially litigated. But that could be both. That could be either good or bad, depending on your perspective. So,
but in the hypothetical you raised, you'd still need a rezoning under current and proposed, as I understand it, which
right.
would still be inconsistent with a joint land use plan, which means you still wouldn't get it. I mean, so as a practical matter, I don't see this much difference in the process.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I had a couple of questions.
Sure.
Is this a good time?
That's fine.
In the packet, there's a set of questions and answers. And mm-hmm. I have a question about question 14. Stream buffers. And I'd love for you to give me an example of how the UDO could potentially affect greenways, because greenways is listed there.
Well, the only changes to stream buffers that are being contemplated is that the state allows you to have some uses permitted outright and some uses with mitigation. And we have gone through the state's fairly extensive list of what they allow and picked out a few things that we have wanted to see or have had requests for in the past few years to either allow outright or to allow with mitigation. And some of those examples would be like hiking trails. Right now, our stream buffer regulations allow no uses within the stream buffer. You're not allowed to have a hiking trail within the stream buffer. And our stream buffer widths are wider than the state requires as well. Depending on the situation, anywhere from 35 feet to over 100 feet wider than what the state minimums are. Orange County does have fairly stringent stream buffer regulations. Mm-hmm. So another example of a use that would be allowed in a stream buffer now are boat docks. Or a dock in a public park that you can fish off of, which is actually something that kind of precipitated these changes, I must say, was that our park planners wanted to be able to do a fishing dock in one of the public parks and can't do that at this point because it's considered part of the stream buffer. Other things that are like allowed with mitigation is a perpendicular crossing over a stream to access a lot. Right now, technically, that's not allowed, and the change to the ordinance would allow that to be happen with mitigation.
So, with this UDO, changes or what would be permitted in the stream buffers would affect county lands and the joint planning area, but not municipalities and the ETJ?
Correct. When you say county land, do you mean county jurisdiction land?
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, not just county-owned land.
Right. And so... So that means county parks?
Well, not county parks within other jurisdictions.
Okay.
We have to follow y'all's
that's what
regulations.
I wanted to know. Okay. And are you going to talk some about rural buffer, just to tell us how the UDO impacts rural buffer in general? Or?
I kind of thought that I just did, basically.
Well, I mean, just
trying to say that there really is no change to how it would impact the rural buffer. I put this map up here to remind you of where the rural buffer is located, right, with Carborough and the transition area being over here.
So folks who are in the rural buffer contacted me. I mean, they're concerned that, you know, that they don't fall into the municipality, that they're going to be some, they're going to be in a loophole, essentially.
Well, the rural buffer is under county jurisdiction. The transition area is more of the really joint planning, okay, between the county and the town,
right,
that occurs. But more so, the transition areas are more so under y'all's regulations.
Right.
The rural buffer is county jurisdiction, planning,
okay,
jurisdiction.
Okay, so UDO would they would fall completely under the UDO?
Correct.
Okay.
Although any development proposals come to your staff for their review.
Right, okay.
And this map shows the parts of the rural buffer where CJDA is Carborough Joint Development Review Area, so everything over here is Carborough's area, and then there's a joint courtesy review area, this darker green, which means joint with Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County. And then over here is Chapel Hill's joint development review area, along with the little southern triangle, as we call it.
Could you point out that joint courtesy review area? Can you describe, help me picture what the bounds of that,
sure,
are? It looks like it's one side.
This is the interstate.
Oh, it's
Interstate 40 right,
uh-huh,
here. Basically, it's the edge of the landfill. And I believe that the edge over here is Duke Forest lands. Everything over here is Duke Forest lands,
uh-huh,
and I think that it followed the Duke Forest lands parcel lines.
And it goes up north of New Hope Church Road to,
yes,
something up there.
Yes.
New Hope Creek or something?
No, I actually think that that's the watershed boundary for Cape Fear. Between the Cape Fear and the Neuse, the rural buffer followed the watershed boundary in that area.
Great. Okay. Other questions? Okay.
I was going to just give you a couple minutes on the current review and adoption process. The public hearing was continued to February 28th, and the Orange County Planning Board is currently reviewing certain sections of the draft UDO. Like I mentioned before, January 27th is another public outreach meeting, and we encourage people to come to that meeting. It will be a more in-depth presentation than what you're receiving tonight. I was told to keep my presentation to about 10 minutes. we have requested that if there are any written comments from municipalities, that they be submitted by 5 p.m. on February 2nd. And that is because our planning board meets on February 2nd at 7:30 to consider making a recommendation to the BOCC on the UDO's adoption. February 28th is the continued public hearing, and then the planning board will meet again in March if they need to make any recommendations on what they heard at the public hearing. And the UDO is scheduled to go to the BOCC on April 5th. For the commission to consider adoption of the UDO.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
We're not always difficult.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you coming.
Okay. Let's see.
There you go. There is a resolution accepting the report if you are interested in doing it.
Is there a motion for the resolution?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, under passed unanimously. Are there any other matters from the staff? Alderman?
I do have little something.
We have one.
I want to recognize Steve Stewart's birthday today, our town manager.
Happy birthday!
You thought you'd get away from it.
It's almost out the door.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, quick for an old man.
Takes one to know one. All right, you all very much.
All right.
Season.
Thank you, Steve, for all that you do.
Thank you.
We know this is one tough year, so we wanted to make it sweet to come to the new one.
All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, members must unanimously.